Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, welcome to the special meeting of the Los Osos Community Services District. It's Wednesday, October 26th. Tonight, we have one item on the agenda. And before I do that, because we had a closed session, a special meeting on Sunday, I'd like to report out of closed session from the Sunday meeting that we held that we have no reportable action. So that's the report from Sunday's meeting. And our staff, Mr. Blesky and Mr. McClendon, are available by phone. They'll be here shortly. They're in a meeting right now, and they're trying to get here as soon as possible. So they've been slightly delayed. But we're going to go forward with the meeting, and if we have any questions for the attorneys, we'll collect them. The item on the agenda is this. We want to discuss with our community, Los Osos Community Services District's commitment to Measure B, which is for establishing environmental siting criteria for a wastewater treatment facility that serves to protect the people and the environment, including the groundwater, and to negotiate with Assemblyman Sam Blakesley and the State Water Resources Control Board and the State Revolving Fund Loan Program, using all tools available towards achieving an affordable wastewater management solution that meets both statewide affordability criteria and community water quality goals, such as safe basin yield, groundwater management, water conservation, and water recycling. And we will have a resolution to present to you as soon as Mr. McClendon gets here. That's what I've been told. But it is in regards to that matter. And that's what I'd like to say. I'd like to see if the other board members have anything to add to that at this time. It's just basically a reaffirming our commitment to negotiate in good faith with the state on these very serious issues. And we're looking for your comments and questions and concerns about this same issue. Any other director comments? So this is the time for public comment on this item, and we will also have a closed session public comment coming up after that.
This is not... Oh, no. Oh, I'm on. Okay. This is not my comment on the item. I understand that they are collecting signatures over on the table. What do you mean? They're writing, they're signing their names. Mm-hmm. I looked at what it said, and I don't think that it should be allowed here during our meeting. Since we don't have counsel here, I can't ask counsel about it, but I would prefer that it cease. Thank you.
It's my understanding that the materials are not political. They're just asking for help. That's what I do. But we'll ask the attorney when he gets here, Ms. McNeil, to respond to your questions. Thank you.
Don Bearden, Los Osos. Measure B is a flawed piece of legislation that will be overturned by the courts. The voters that pass this measure are not necessarily the ones that have to pay for the wastewater project. Only residents of the prohibition zone and absentee landlords owning property in the prohibition zone should have been allowed to vote on a wastewater project. If enough voters outside the prohibition zone were to pass a no project alternative, then the prohibition zone would be stuck with individual fines and could do nothing about it. How close is close proximity? A strict definition would prohibit a wastewater plant anywhere in the county. Measure B conflicts with the state law. Which one do you think will win out? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Clark.
Gretchen Clark, Los Osos, ladies and gentlemen of the board. I'm here as one of the community stakeholders not included in the current negotiations that are being mediated by Sam Blakeslee. And I did write to our Assemblyman Blakeslee noting that there was a full contingent of our community that has not been included in those negotiations. There are many others who feel as I do, as I'm sure you are all aware. And I would urge you all to deliberate long and hard if you insist on cleaving to the narrow passage of Measure B as a mandate for your decisions. This measure was ruled against by Judge Doug Hilton in Superior Court. It has been recalendered for December, and the case has been joined by the State Attorney General. I would also like to remind the board that the State Water Quality Control Board also has a mandate to help the people of California protect their water. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Who else would like to? Ms. Venditti, please.
Hi, my name is Karen Venditti, and I do live here and own property here in Los Osos. And I want to thank you again. I know you guys have just been making a Herculean effort. The reason I'm here is, again, to appeal to citizens of Los Osos, all the people who are residents, voters, whether or not you own property, just all the folks in Los Osos. I really think that this is our opportunity to come together as a community, to support each other, and move forward, however, whatever that moving forward looks like. We want to move forward and be mutually supportive of each other. That's why we are writing letters to our representatives, and we have a fax to the governor. So we encourage you to pick up letters or come by. We simply want them to know that Los Osos needs their help. And again, this is nonpartisan. We will be available at tomorrow night's meeting, I believe, with LOCAC, and at Vaughn's over the weekend, and at Oktoberfest down at Baywood on Sunday. We'd be happy to help in any way we can because we all feel very committed to Los Osos. Thank you for your support, too.
Thank you. Thank you. Ms. Oakes, would you like to speak?
Hi, Pam Oakes, LADA. Good evening. We have a lot of work to do to unite Los Osos. It's hard, though, when the entire country is divided with Democrats and Republicans. But we don't have – both sides, I think, have the same goals. I think everybody wants a sewer system that's environmentally friendly. I think that everyone wants a sewer people can afford that won't force one person out of their homes. Doesn't everyone want a sewer system that that won't cost us $300 to $500 a month every month for the next 20 years, or a loan that's looking like it's going to be over $200 million with and that's without interest? And doesn't everybody want to protect our water, conserve the water, and have a clean bay? Then why does Roger Briggs focus just on Los Osos? Aren't there other polluters? And let me just ask if these other people could be polluting. All creeks and drainages leading into the estuary, agricultural runoff, agriculturally impacted groundwater, the closed Turry Road landfill, urban runoff from Morro Bay and Los Osos Baywood Park, discharges, leakages, and dumping of waste from commercial and private boats, pet waste, Duke Energy facility, waste produced by homeless residents, the California Men's Colony, Cuesta College, El Chorro Regional Park, Morro Bay Golf Course, Sea Pines Golf Resort, Dairy Creek Golf Course, Morro Bay State Campground, Monarch Grove Sewage Treatment Facility, all county and state facilities and operations located on or near Kansas Avenue, all dumping discharges and leakages from commercial and residential development adjacent to or near Morro Bay and the estuary. So I have to ask then, why are just Los Osos being the focus of Roger Briggs? Then I had some more notes here. First, I have to say I really beg the board not to negotiate this illegal loan. I've talked to not just one law firm, but many, and there's a problem with this loan. And to go on with an illegal loan, to me, doesn't seem appropriate. That's my opinion. I think the loan should be canceled and a legal one initiated. Abandon this illegal loan. And I wanted to ask, how would Shirley Bianchi like a huge, stinky mega sewer in the heart of her town, Cayucas? And I had heard that Albaro had Nelson Ponding that would finance. There's other companies that can help finance, and that he had found one company that would do the collection system for just $12 million. So just in closing, please become educated on the project, and let's all work together. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Oaks. Mr. Danker?
Good evening, President Shaker and members of the board, as well as those of you who may be at home watching this in delayed telecast. My name is Stuart Danker, and my wife and I are six-year residents of Baywood Park, sometimes referred to as the Prohibition Zone. In the weeks leading up to the recent election, much was said about how Measure B is the community's armor against the fines that the RWQCB is about to direct at Los Osos. In my mind, it's going to be about as effective as the hillbilly armor that we've heard about our troops having to improvise in Iraq against the improvised explosive devices that the insurgents are employing against them. I look dimly upon the future of Measure B and expect the appeals court to probably render it invalid in December. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Danker. Who else would like to speak, please? Mr. Oak? Oh, yes, sir.
Good evening, board, and members of the audience. I would like to unite the community also.
Do you care to state your name, sir, or it's your choice? But
Richard Leslie.
Yes.
When the board is representing half of the population against the other half, it's hard to unite with a deck stacked that way. You were elected to improve the fiscal spending of money, but in 30 days, the CSD has run up $5 million in contract suspensions costs, still running at about $218,000 a day. You hired a part-time manager at $250 an hour while still retaining Bruce Buell because he knows all the facts. A new district council has been paid a $25,000 retainer without competitive bidding or public discussion. A more transparent government. People are having a hard time getting documents. The council is supposed to review requests and notify the requester of the status and estimated date of completion of the review. But formerly, we used to be able to get documents whenever we wanted, within about a day. Numerous requests have been made last week, for example, last Thursday, regarding a financial status, but we cannot get that out of the CSD. There's been serious violation of the Brown Act. There have been improperly noticed meetings, serial meetings of the directors, decisions made with no agenda items published. An example of this latter thing is the $25,000 retainer given to the district council, the new district council. It seems to me fairly evident that you're driving the price up so much that the low-income people, which we should be protecting, will be driven out. The U.S. House of Representatives appropriation by lowest caps of $30 million will go away, and that is something that really could lower the monthly costs. Grants of $120,000 for low-income hookups will be unused, and I hope that's in a segregated account because we're beginning to run into real fiscal problems. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Oaks?
People of Los Osos, I am Aaron Oaks. I want to thank the new CSD board for serving the community during these tumultuous times. We will protect the town from devastation, despite the Dreamers and the Tribunes wish to demolish the hopes and dreams of the people. Los Osos will not bow down to evil as demonstrated by the Regional Water Quality Control Board. Roger, liability. In the letter, the board stated, the Central Coast Water Board remains committed to resolving water quality problems in Los Osos. Now, the best way to be committed to resolving water quality problems in Los Osos is to not fine the community $10,000 a day to hasten a process that needs careful deliberation. In the past, the Regional Water Control Quality Board has been committed to the proposed gravity collection system, which is based on faulty science while invoking health and environmental concerns. The reasons behind this blindly aggressive push are questionable, if not exaggerated, or at worst, fabricated. We also intend to begin enforcement proceedings against individual property owners, wrote Bitter Briggs. Homeowners should not be directly punished for administrative affairs. The Regional Water Control Quality Board has mentioned earlier that the CSD will not face fines if the fines to advance the project is beyond the CSD's control. Figuratively speaking, if it's out of control of the homeowner's hands, then why are the homeowners subject to fines? In any event, the regional board has decided to kill off the community one house at a time for exercising their right to vote for better government and wastewater alternatives. Such massive oppression should not be part of the water board's mission in Los Osos, and Briggs should not be the unaccountable enforcer of such oppression. For whatever personal reason, for power or money, he has obviously enjoyed too much power for too long and has lost touch with the true needs and desires of the people of Los Osos. Mr. Briggs, come down off your high horse and meet the people face to face and tear down this wall.
Thank you, sir. Yes, next speaker.
I love youth. They're so
could you come up just fiery. Could you come up a little?
Yes. Hi.
To the microphone, so at the TV.
Hello. I was just my staying in opinion. I just love youthful fury. My name is Karen Lanners, and I've lived in Los Osos for 1989. I love Los Osos and own title on about five properties here, so I have a vested interest. And I just have a curious question because I don't want a sewer plant in the middle of my town. I think that that's a travesty to put a sewer plant in the middle of a beautiful town. And I've lived in many beautiful towns before, and they've all been on the ocean, and I've never seen a sewer plant in the middle of a beautiful town. But I've got another kind of interesting question, and this has just came to mind recently, and I understand that there was a, just out of the idea of fairness and everything being on the table in these negotiations, wasn't there, I think Frank Freiler mentioned a period of time ago, an option for a $15,000 individual sewer maintenance option plant or whatever that we could have individually on our properties. And that appeals to me much more than the big plant in the middle of town. You know, I'd be willing to invest $15,000 per property to have such a unit on each one of my houses. And I certainly think that that probably... So rather than look at all the, you know, who's doing what wrong and how we're getting our needs not met, you know, look at some solutions. So
thank you very much. Mr. Riccono?
Honorable board, friends at home, Joey Riccono, Orange County Ocean Outfall Group. The Orange County Ocean Outfall Group and the Central Coast Ocean Outfall Group and Surfrider Foundation are three organizations that you know are dedicated to clean water. Clean ocean water, clean groundwater, clean river water, clean water. We are all against, vehemently against, putting a wastewater treatment plant next to the National Estuary. The idea that this would in any way, shape, or form be good for water quality is preposterous. So when Roger Briggs or anyone else says that they're doing this for water quality purposes, then one of us is lying. And I'm not getting paid. Now, I want to bring up a couple of important points. Measure B. Recently, some of the local publications have come out with a statement saying that Measure B is now going to be attacked by the Attorney General. More scare tactics. Let me assure you, I was asked by the Attorney General's office to send information. I sent this fax to Tricia Wynn, the Attorney General's office, a detailed examination of the San Luis Obispo nitrate sampling program by Wade Brim, the James Kreisel letter saying that Gerhard Ubner of the regional board grossly misrepresented his studies, a letter from John Alexander, Cal Poly soil scientist. Then I sent another one, and I sent another fax, and I sent another fax, all at the request of the Attorney General. Therefore, the Attorney General will not be representing the regional board because he'll have to recuse himself. So enough with that scare tactic. Let's move on to the next one. The idea that the regional board is going to be fining anybody. Bruce Daniels is a member of the regional board. When I went and I presented my Andre Bay Cayucas regional plan, which is moving forward, before the Environmental Caucus at a California Democratic Party in Sacramento 2 months ago, Bruce Daniels himself came up and argued against me. That was highly unethical because he is a member of a regulatory overseeing agency, and he overstepped his bounds. His wife was involved as the secretary of the caucus, and she, her name is Graves. I can't remember if it's Barbara or Nancy, but she actually took my presentation down, turned it over, and defaced it. Okay? Then we've got photographic evidence of this going on. I mean, the regional board is rife with conflict. This whole issue has been grossly misrepresented from the first. I urge you, Director Tacker, and everyone else on the board, to do what the major part of this community wants, and that is move the sewer away from the estuary. And I thank you for this opportunity to address the board.
Thank you, sir.
My name is Richard Sadowski. I'm from Good Help. Good working help. We don't need outside help from Montana, Denver, or anywhere else. Okay? We've done big jobs here on Vandenberg and in this whole area. I had the pleasure of working all the way from Ragged Point on this coastline all the way to Point Aguello. And this is a beautiful coastline, and it's worthy of preservation. Now, as far as the Regional Quality Board, I had been in meetings with the Regional Board before when I worked at the Cayucas Sanitary District. I had been in meetings with Gerhard Hubner and Roger Briggs and Matt Thompson. Matt Thompson's a good man. Now, I have photographic evidence of spills in Cayucas last winter. No fines, okay? They're not going to fine anybody. Okay, they do not fine anybody. Okay, so there is a problem in the regional board, and I assure you that what the Ocean Outfall Group is determined to expose the chicanery going on in that group. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening, Marla Bruton with the Central Coast Ocean Outfall Group. I was just standing at the back of the room, and some of the construction guys from the plant back there were chuckling when Mr. Sadowski mentioned that we have enough good help here. I want it known that these guys are going out in bars and public places here in town boasting about how they're getting to sit here for 3 months and get paid a full salary, and then they'll just start building the sewer again. What is wrong with this country? I mean, we have to start at home. We have to start right here where we are, and we have to, as Americans, think of it as, like, what if it were in your hometown? You know, the Regional Water Quality Board, they're corrupt. I'll just go ahead and say it. I have photographic evidence conflict of interest all over the place. Les Bowker shaking hands with Stan Gustafson, with Rose Bowker, the president, in front of Julie Tucker's driveway with no recall signs. Give me a break. This is embedded. It's a long time coming. And the starting of tearing up that Esha, these guys here, their company, their owners, and their legal people for their company were at the same meeting I was over at the community center. And they sat through hours of people in this community discussing how they felt about this being built and being asked to wait until the election. They came in with their eyes open that it was hotly debated here and that we were going to have an election. And I feel sorry for America when we have elections and people who think that they're good citizens can sit there and say, they're not even saying you cheated. They're just saying, well, you know, the state's going to do this or do that. You get rid of the corruption and then come and talk to me and I'll be available. Thank you.
And the intent of Regional Water Quality Control Board, I am very seriously considering raising my rents to market value now. I knew the rents would have to go up. I'm also concerned that alternative financing, which was discussed in a previous meeting, will not pass by the voters. And I'm kind of concerned about what's going to happen if there are no monies available. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ward.
My name is Nancy Leslie, and you're very wrong about the Water Quality Board. There was a lovely lady named Mrs. Smith here several meetings back who said, you're sticking your fingers in their eyes. These people are dead serious, and guess what? We put them in office. They've been assigned by the California Assembly to clean up the water, and you think they're not going to fine you, then you can go on believing in the tooth fairy, because they are. I have watched them since the year 2000 when we moved in here and Mrs. Sorrell Marks said they were going to fine us $10,000 a day. At that time, the sewer was a ponding system. At that time, it was at Tri-W. And they were still, while we met with a design, Mrs. Marks said, if it wasn't done in time, we're going to be fine. Since then, I have watched with a frightened eye in my retirement home as they find Ragged Point, San Simeon, Pismo Beach, a gentleman named David Pearson in Creston because his silt ran into a stream during the rainstorm. They also find Cambria, a school, an elementary school, $320,000, and they did not get the money back, as some of you seem to think. That money, some of it went for salmon swimming upstream to make it easier for them, and they had $75,000 there for different things. These people are deadly serious. They're doing a job. They've been told to do a job. It's not Los Osos that's been singled out. They're trying to do the best they can do, and we're just flying in their face. She said, you're sticking your fingers in their eyes. I think you're beating a wasp nest with a stick.
Thank you, Ms. Leslie. Oh, Mr. Fouché, just a second, please.
Just a quick comment. As a board, we take the Water Board, the Water Quality Control Board, very seriously. The previous speaker, hopefully she was speaking to the speakers before her, but not to the board. As a board, we do take the Water Board's position and their authority and our compliance responsibilities very seriously. Thank you.
My name is Carol Vogt. I'm a resident of Los Osos. I'd like to congratulate the three new board members on their election. And I'm holding a piece of your campaign literature, and I liked very much the words that you ran on, and the first being responsive and ethical government. I think that's a goal. I know as the new guys on the block, there's some stumbling that has occurred, and I think that, yes, this is definitely time for us to take these folks seriously. Their job is to protect water quality in the state of California, and have mercy, we are polluting. The next one you talk about in your campaign flyer that you gentlemen ran on is Project Affordability. I have been waiting patiently. I understood there was a 40-page project that you folks were going to show how you could build cheaper out of town. I don't think there's anybody in the room who would love to have something cheaper out of town, but I'm sure not seeing anything cheaper and cheaper with the realities of what we have today. Blame the game and putting a price tag on blame doesn't make anything. The reality we have today is we have some very large ticket items kicking in every day, and that has to be factored in, too, as you gentlemen make your decision. I'm not sure all this information. Fact is, I'm really sure all this information somehow wasn't available or wasn't explained carefully, and now that you're in these positions of serious responsibility, you have access to excellent information. Please access. There's lots of talented people. There's a gentleman here that I know, I believe, is still retained. The gentleman is of honor, and he is a font of information. Use all information. If you don't like the man, fine, but listen to the information he has and evaluate the information. This is business. This is not personalities. You may then, your last one is a fully funded solution. Gentlemen, the reality is we have a cheap loan. They're very serious about it. Understand and respect that these public officials have a charge. They have been working with this. This isn't fairy tale land. It's not going to go on forever. I'm so delighted that you've reached out to Sam Blakesley, who is an excellent, a very intelligent man, and reached out to him to assist. Good luck. I hope you do a great job.
Thank you, Ms. Vogt. Mr. Perkins?
Thank you. President Chicker, board members, my name is John Perkins, and unlike some of the previous speakers, I'm not ashamed to admit that I live in Los Osos. First, I want to wish you luck in the current negotiations with the state agency. Have you got any reportable actions yet? You've had two or three sessions. Second, I want to thank you for your recent remarks that the Tri-W site is still on the table. You have effectively canceled the contracts or stopped them using a clause in the contract or Proposition B. And then I hear that you want to continue the work on the collection system but not on the plant. The way I read Proposition B, we have to have an election on the entire system, even a no sewer project, before we can go with anything. So it looks like you're using Proposition B when you want to use it and not use it when you want to use it, if that makes sense. Speaking about the contract cancellation, there have been several questions raised at recent meetings that have gone unanswered, and I'll ask them again. It has been a public meeting. If you have decided on a plan without a public meeting, is that a violation of the Brown Act? And I'll finish my remarks with a question directed at each of you. If moving the sewer out of town proves to be more expensive than the present plan, are you still in favor of moving the sewer? That's a real simple question. I just want a simple answer, yes or no. And as one of the most vocal opponents to the present sewer said, I'll wait here till I get an answer. Thank you.
I think a real answer to that, John, you'd have to start with asking how much more. If it's $2 more?
I said that was a simple question. If it costs more, you're going to move? And I wanted a simple answer, yes or no.
Would any of the directors like to answer that? Or you don't have to, but you can.
It depends.
No, it does. Okay. There's a factor in here that is beyond the board's control, and that's the will of the people. And so
we need to consider that. Measure B is a reality. Prop 218 litigation is a reality. And I think it would behoove us to ask for the community's input as to how much more they would want to pay for a system out of town, or if they would be willing to pay the same amount or less for a system in town. It's up to the community, too. We each have preferences. And like Chuck brought up, how much more? That's significant. And it is a hypothetical situation. You know, you could throw in one of my kids, and if it meant their health or safety, you know, now what is it? You know, so many hypothetical things, and so many things are involved in this decision. Some of them within our control, some of them without, and some of them we don't even know. How the board reacts to this might make it a very different outcome. So, you know, there are a lot of factors.
Director Sassania? Director Tacker?
I wish I knew how much the current sewer project cost. Estimates are $163 million as the project stands today, but we all know that there are deferred costs. This project isn't complete. So if we have a sewer out of town that meets more needs, I think we'll pay. I still believe we'll pay less. But I think we're going to have a sewer that addresses more of the issues that face our community. Part of the coastal development permit tells us we must look at ag exchange. A sewer out of town, the immediate disposal is ag exchange. That's added to the price of the project. Something that never has been done, and I've asked since I stood at the podium where you were just now, Mr. Perkins, was an economic impact study. What will the impacts of a downtown sewer cost our community? The property values around the site?
Your question was a simple question, but it really is a very complex issue. It's very difficult to answer a simple question when the issues are as complex as this one is. It just is. And we're weighing all of those issues. We have to consider everything, what's best for the whole community. So I'm not going to sit here and try to answer your question because it's very difficult. There's a lot of additional issues like Julie just brought up, things to consider. And so it's just, I can't say it again. I don't want to be redundant, but it's a complex situation, and we're dealing with it.
Thank you. And then just my two cents to add everybody else's is it's the same thing. If we can get a sewer project out of town that meets more of our water quality goals, we truly believe that this project in town does not meet our water quality goals of saltwater intrusion, ag exchange, groundwater recharge, biosolids treatment, added value, water conservation, and possible pollution to the estuary. That's why we want it out of town, and affordability, all of those things. We want it out of town because of those reasons. We want more of our water quality goals met, not less, more. And so that's where I'm coming from, and an echo of all the other directors. Thank you.
My name is Arnie Setrin. This is the first time in my life, 70 years, where I saw money didn't talk. We won because we stuck together. We want to move the sewer out of town. Now, we have opportunities about four places. People sell their land, and we could put our sewer out there. But our problem is going to be the opposition. Wherever you pick, they're going to come after you. Like we went after them. We found that putting a sewer in this town would never work. So when we go out of town with a sewer, we're going to feel the same pain. So when you guys make your decision, it's going to cost four different places. You're going to have to do a lot of inspection, and it's going to cost a lot of money. But when you do pick it out, there won't be any renege. We'll be able to build. So take that in consideration.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Payne.
Good
Good evening, Madam President, Board, staff, and public. My name is Bruce Payne. I'm a resident of Los Osos. I almost forgot my name, I guess. I had some notes here. People were talking about cost of things, how much it's going to cost to go outside of town. I would just like to remind everybody that Tri-W site cost $3 million. It was 11 acres. It needed 3 acres to one to mitigate for the endangered species habitat. That required 33 acres. So the people who were in power then decided we'd buy 80 acres of greenbelt, which they were very proud to tell people on the first meeting I ever came to in 2000. And that 80 acres of greenbelt was a single APN number, appraiser's parcel number, when it was negotiated 8 acres usable. There's another thing that a lot of people don't know, was that Peter Andre actually spoke to our manager, Bruce Buell, about that property, and I'm pretty sure everybody knew that it was a deed restriction and not a right-of-way for the power lines. When that property was split up, PG&E bought the full 40 acres. No, they bought the 32 acres, which is what their power... And then when they had... they didn't need the ground, so they sold it back to Andre, which he took the 8 acres as part of his payment probably for the legal work on splitting the property up. But then PG&E sold it back to him with basically grazing rights and deed restrictions on it that you couldn't do anything underneath the power lines. So this was a known fact when they were going around showing you what the preferred site was, what was the most ecological, least ecological, whatever. So, and by the way, when somebody asks you, five of you, would you build out of town no matter what it cost? I think that's pretty well already decided for you on that initiative. As far as I know, it's still in effect, whereby you have put it up for a vote to the community anyway. So it's not your really, that might take part of the strain off of your decision making. This is something I don't know where the camera is. Okay. This book is called Abuse of Power. Now, we already been through a few years of power abuse in this with the grassroots, but this is a problem of eminent domain. California is something like fourth or in the top four of the most abuse of eminent domain. And when you look at that sewer line that was put in a big hurry, I think it should be filled with concrete. That sets it up for zero lot lines and two-story condos on a street down here that's already zoned multiple. There's duplexes and triplexes on it, and it's right on the bay. The point being, eminent domain, the county can take that away from anybody or all of them and give it to anybody they want. Now, I don't know who they'd give it to, but I can pretty well guess who would meet the planning department to talk about the condos and zero lot lines. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. McNeil? Oh, did you want to speak, Ms. McNeil, or no?
I was going to go get online like everybody else.
Well, you, okay, I was going to let you go first. Make it easy for you, Ms. Neller.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Neller from Cuesta by the Sea. The other day, I was driving on South Bay Boulevard, entering into the Morro Bay area, and came to Quintana Road. I've been doing that for over 20 years, two or three times a day, visiting my mom. And it's a double yellow line along there. I was following the speed limit. There was no one on it for many reasons, and I can't think of a single reason for having it in town. However, I'm not going to give you grief if after you've done all you can and I've done my best. We end up having it in town because of circumstances beyond our control, because of other people's actions. And I just wish, one other point, that the workers that are from out of town were able to come up and talk in their own defense. I have no bad feelings towards them.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. Would anyone else like to speak, please? I think there are more people who want to speak, but I don't see them coming up. Oh, Ms. Arnarn, you want to go next?
Yes. Good evening, Director Schicker and members of the board and people of Los Osos. I'm Daniela Arnon. I live in Los Osos. It's my understanding that every single company that accepted contracts to build at the Tri-W site or to build the old project knew that the contracts could be stopped. So they entered into the agreement knowing so. And we also begged the State Water Board not to lend the money until after the election. And I think that would have been a good idea. Of course, I want the environmentally preferred sewer out of town. If all options are on the table, maybe we should look at on-site septic maintenance. I think our new CSD is doing its job. I noticed that a road is getting taken care of that was really funky, and a CSD yard that had some really awful stuff in it got cleaned up. So I want to thank you for taking care of the town. And good luck in your negotiations. And I honor you guys, and I respect your decisions. And I hope that the people that are working with us will understand that we really want to do the right thing and to manage our resources and our watershed properly. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker, please. Mr. Barrow.
Thank you. My name is Al Barrow. Good evening. First, I want to just clarify, we're supposed to be discussing Los Osos' commitment to Measure B for establishing environmental siting criteria for the wastewater treatment facility, et cetera, et cetera, and to negotiate. On the second point, negotiations, you can't deal a law. Law is a law. We have a new law. It's a wastewater ordinance. You can interpret it to some degree, but it's still the law. So you can't go to Sam Blakesley and say, we're not going to do everything that the measure says, because you don't have a choice. You have to think. The second point here is that the sewer that was on the table for the previous board didn't solve our groundwater problems. Why would a regional board, whose mission statement is to protect the water resources of the state, let an absolutely ridiculously expensive sewer be approved that doesn't meet their goals? Saltwater intrusion, folks. There's so many ways of solving that. Now I want to go ag exchange, pond systems. They're all very inexpensive way of treating the water to a very high level and to reversing our saltwater intrusion. The location outside of town, as Esha has been mentioned, there's no Esha out there. It's already been approved as the most environmentally preferred in the EIR. We know that already. We know an awful lot. You know, we're on the right track. Don't let the water board scare you, bully you. They have no right to. They have no right to choose for Los Osos. That's really important. So I urge you in your negotiations to stand fast on the principles of Measure B. If you don't, you'll be in trouble, big trouble. The Water Board has no right to take your loan away. This is a priority project. They've had a loan since 1985, and they always give it. And they're shooting themselves in the foot if they find Los Osos and bankrupt us and make us impossible. And good luck on collecting that, Roger. I'm telling you that right now, Roger Briggs. Good luck on collecting any fines you get from this, because you're going to have to go through one of the biggest governmental law firms in California.
Mr. Bureau, please.
I'm going to wrap it up. We also have tools. Safe water reuse. It's important. We can save 1,300 acre feet. We only have a debt of 560 acre feet. So if only half of you know what we can get on ag exchange, and then we have also have the option of purple pipe, which means reducing pumping.
Mr. Barrow, to be fair.
And please. I will close by saying I was disappointed that there's no audiovisual capacity today. I have a CD that will show at one-third or less than the cost of the present sewer. I have from a professional agency a complete sewer collection system, a step stake from the complete.
Yes.
Let me just finish. One
be
last
fair.
Sentence.
I'm asking you to be
one
fair.
One last sentence.
No, you may have to stop speaking. You're not being fair to the rest of the audience, Mr. Barrow. Now, I need to be fair to everybody. I gave you an extra minute. Now, please excuse yourself.
That's I'll show fairness. This tomorrow night.
That'd be great. I wish you would. Thank you, Mr. Fergus.
Yes, I would like to see what he has, too. My name is John Fergus. I'm a Los Osos citizen. Good evening, board, President Schicker, and the rest of you. And I'm sure you're a bit sleep-deprived. As a matter of fact, I would imagine there are a lot of us in the audience that have lost some sleep over this. Possible? Yeah. Okay. I'm going to, by the way, I want to ask the gentleman who just was at the microphone. Since last meeting, he said he had a plan for 27. He was either 27 or 37 million. Now, that can be easily seen by as a complete package deal. Now, I told you at the last meeting that, and I wished you well, and I said the path to go down is the one that if you can possibly get it out of town, President Schicker, well, that would be great, especially if it didn't cost more money. It didn't involve litigation. However, as I have not heard any expenses of, you know, what things cost, I'm going to now ask, what is the plan that you have that is cheaper and out of town? Could you name the site, the cost of the site, and could you show a plan that is a diagram for the audience that could be projected on the board behind you? I'd like to see that, because if I can't see an actual plan that's substantial, supported by numbers, that shows real, valid things that people can go and find on their own as well. If I don't see a plan, I don't believe there is a plan. Second one, a negotiation. I think really what this is all about is actually the state is not, you're not negotiating with the state. The state's going to put you in a corner. And you're either going to have one of two options. You are either you will either be weak and take the route of being stubborn and forcing this community to go bankrupt, or you will have the inner strength, Inner strength is stronger. The inner strength of flexibility is stronger than the facade of strength of blowing wind or pushing one's way around, especially when you don't have numbers to support and you did not bring up what the plan was before the election. Okay. Now, a couple of things on the Regional Water Quality Board, and this time I did. Am I out of time?
Yeah, you are.
Good, okay. And I'm not going to do like Al Burrow did. No way. Thank you very much. And get me a plan. Get us something by the next meeting. Please.
Okay. And just to quickly answer Mr. Fergus's questions, the workshops have been going on from the task force and all of us for the last 6 months. There is materials out there for you to look at. The preferred plan at the time of election. I'm speaking, Mr. Barrow, if you don't mind. And Mr. Fergus is done speaking, and he spoke on time. Is it the preferred plan at the time of the election was either a gravity or step-stake collection system, a ponding alternative that treated water to tertiary level, ag exchange, outside of town. That was the preferred plan, and that's where we were at. But again, this has to come to the community for more feedback and comment. That was the plan of this group That's what we were looking at as a preferred because of cost, because of solving more water quality goals. If you need to look at any of those materials, they are at the library. Some of them you can look at, and they are available for your perusal. It's a draft plan.
Great. I appreciate that very much. Thank you for expanding on that. Thank you for stopping the interrupter, the lawsuit-happy man of town, who could disappear any time. He's a renter. He has no investment anyway.
You did good.
I just had to say
you did good. Now let's get on to the next speaker.
Is there a cost on the worksheets that you have?
Not yet.
Show the cost?
Okay, please. We'll get to you. We'll get to it. Okay, thanks. There's a lot of cost factors that have to be considered. Okay, Mr. Cooper.
Board, hi. I have a copy of the, or part of a copy of the draft environmental impact report for three. I'm just holding up so people don't know. No, I'm just not talking out of my hat. It talks about the attributes of the different sites, the impact assessment as compared to the Tri-W site. This is the Andre site compared to the Tri-W site. The impact assessment, geology impact, slightly less. Drainage, less impact. Cultural resources, about the same. Consistency with adopted plans, less impact. Traffic, slightly less impact. Air quality, slightly less impact. Noise, less impact. Public health and safety, slightly less. Visual resources, less impact. Biological resources, less impact. Overall, Andre site as opposed to Tri-W, overall, less impact. Not even slightly less impact, less impact. And then finally, on page 308 of that report, it just says, the Andre site offers the least environmental restraints of the alternatives. To move the sewer out of town to the Andre site is a very reasonable idea. I just want to say that it's been discussed, it's been written up, and any thoughtful person has access to this kind of information. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. Mr. Tkach?
James Tkach, Los Osos. I applaud the board for having this meeting tonight. With regard to the commitment to Measure B, yes, it is the law right now, but that may not always be the case. It's a subject of a current lawsuit. So I think it's wise for the board to be looking at other alternatives and other feasibility should that measure not be in force, you know, within a few months from now or a couple months, whatever it ends up being. I understand that you need to comply with it while it is in force, but I think it's showing good foresight that you're looking at other options should that not be available. With regard to negotiations with the state board, I think that that's productive to see what parameters you have available to work within in trying to facilitate moving the plant out of town. Also, previous speakers, I don't know how many times I've got to say it and how many times the interim general manager has to say it. No contracts have been canceled. No contracts have been terminated. The contracts have been suspended is the word, suspended for up to 90 days, which is within our contractual ability to do. So I get tired of people keep coming up here and saying you canceled the contracts. No contracts have been canceled as of yet. So I wish people would understand that. I think that you may have, the interim general manager also spoke and said that we would have been looking at alternatives by now. I think that's one of the first board actions was be looking at alternatives and what we could do. And they would have been doing that had the state revolving fund not pulled the loan and we could have continued working. So their time has been fully on working with the state revolving fund and seeing what we could do with getting at least a portion of the contractors back to work. So as the president of the board has asked, please be patient. I know they're working very hard. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Would anyone else like to speak?
Peter Brewer, and I live in Lowell. He doesn't seem to want to do that. All he worries about, from my impression, is, well, it's been 22 years. What's going on? When are they going to do something? And then you guys present evidence that says no one's polluting the estuary except for the only conventional sewer system in town at Monarch Grove, which the contractor delivered broken, and the people begged the water board not to, you know, turn it over to them until the contractor fixed the problems, and they did it anyway. So, I mean, you know, I don't understand how this guy has his power. I mean, you know, this country was formed because people threw tea in Boston Bay because they were taxed without representation. Sounds like this guy is taxing people without representation. He's not elected. It's just really angry when I hear people say, oh, well, be careful, Roger Briggs. I don't know. I just don't understand. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Would anyone else like to speak? Because I don't see anybody standing up. I need you to come stand up so I can keep the flow going, please.
Keith Swanson.
I'm sorry, Keith. I just wanted to, for the audience's sake, our interim general manager, Dan Blesky, and our interim general counsel, John McClendon, have entered the meeting.
Do you have a resolution drafted? Isn't that what the agenda item is?
Could Mr. McClendon, could you answer that? I was kind of holding off. The question's already been raised.
I'm sorry. No, not at this time.
Okay, so this has basically become open public comment instead of talking about the agenda item.
Both.
Okay. So do we have any idea when that's going to happen? Or, you know, you can probably answer afterwards. I'm supposed to be talking to you. But I don't know if there's any reportable actions from the negotiations that have gone on for the last 3 days, but I think it's important that we know what's happening. But, again, it's negotiations, so you don't want to mess any of that up.
I didn't say at the beginning, we have no reportable actions at this time. We're still in negotiation for the benefit of all the audience.
Okay.
Mr. Blesky has something.
If I can just add to that is that one of the reasons why the resolution hasn't been drafted is because of some of the things that have been discussed at the negotiations, and that's primarily it.
Okay, I'll start. Mr. Fergus, I think he needs to get a little more educated about the project. And if you just were to take this project out of town, it would be half the price because Pismo Beach is doing it and Men's Colony is doing it, same project for half the cost. Also, you have to look at $36 million over bid. It's unconscionable. That's why we're here today. And that's why we're protesting. That's why the people were mad at the last board for allowing this to happen. And then they start the project. I think what should have happened in the beginning was an affordability study, which would have directed you to the right system and design and what's affordable for the community and reaches all our goals. The $218,000 a day is a lie. We do not know what that amount is. But if you were to take that $218,000, that's more than what the bid is. So that's not happening. And they make accusations of serious violations of the Brown Act. I have not seen any yet. I'm just kind of curious. If we were building the sewer out of town now, we carry the financing, it probably at 0%. Because if he's going to sell a hell of a lot of them, it's a heck of a deal. I just think we need to look at this. This is an opportunity. And if the SRF loan, if they say, sorry, Los Osos, you're done, then we're done. Then we need to figure out something else. But we just can't be sitting here and being so negative with the possibility that there's other things that we can do and stop it. You guys got to stop it, and we got to get together here and agree on this is the board, this is the direction, this is where we're going, and that's what the people voted for, and we need to stand behind that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker.
My name is Keith Miller. I live in Los Osos. Sitting in the back of the room, I wasn't going to say anything tonight until I realized that this meeting epitomizes Los Osos for the last 20 years. Nothing is going to happen tonight at all. Nothing. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker, please.
Hi, Lacey Cooper, Los Osos. I had a quick question. It's either yesterday or the day before. There was something about the negotiations. They were saying they were bringing up cost-benefit analysis of alternatives and this site. And I just wondered, is that happening?
Yes, that's happening.
Okay. So the other thing, I think this is for a future thing to do because you guys are so incredibly busy with the negotiations that I'm sure a whole cost-benefit analysis will be done, you know, on all the proposed projects, the current one, alternatives and everything. And I think that's where we're going to get beyond the emotion, and I think this is better, and I think that's better, because when you do, you know, cost-benefit analysis, or even if you separate them, you can really look, you can weight the benefits and the downside of each thing, and you can also look long-range and short-range. And so I'm hoping in the future we'll be working on that, because in that way people can just step back and objectively look at the thing, you know. And that's where I think we got in trouble before. We really didn't have that. We didn't have all those factors, affordability, everything on the table, and have it weighted, you know, 1 to 10, 1 to 5, whatever. And then so people could really see, you know, what are the benefits, what are the drawbacks, what's the cost now, what's the cost for future violations of pollution. I think people don't take that into consideration when they think about downtown. As Julie Tacker was saying, what's the economic impact? That's one thing. What are future fines if you have a lot of spills into the bay? You have to think of all these things, plus what you brought up about the, you know, the groundwater and recharging that, and the fact that state water is very expensive and not available. And I just want to put that out for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cooper. Ms. McNeil?
My name is Vivian McNeil, and I live in Los Osos. I'm a property owner in any of your decisions. I believe that the currently funded and permitted downtown site, and I use quotes on that, downtown, will meet the community water quality needs. Since I've not seen the wording of the resolution, which we are supposed to be discussing or hearing or deciding about now, I certainly cannot say, I urge you to say yes or no. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McNeil. I totally apologize for that. It's just, I don't know why you had to do that, but I just wanted to answer Ms. McNeil's question. The reason we don't have one tonight is because the negotiations are still in progress and going so fast, but we still felt it was important to have a meeting so you guys could express what your feelings were at this time. And so I totally apologize for not having the resolution. We want to have one, and we thought maybe we'd have something to report tonight, and we just don't yet. But the meeting, that's why we're having the meeting just the same.
But I got up and spoke.
Yes, you did, and I appreciate that. So, Mr. Sparks.
Regarding the agenda item, which it says discuss your commitment to Measure B, I think there's a lesson here in Los Osos. You never form a CSD with a major public works project with a prohibition zone in the middle with three water purveyors. That would probably be a lesson for other communities. But here we are in 2005. It's not 2000. That is a fundamental problem, and in Measure B, it's a fundamental problem. If I read from the purpose of this initiative measure is to establish standards and procedures for the location of sewer and wastewater treatment facilities to be constructed by the LO CSD, both within and outside the district boundaries, that would serve and be paid for by the people of the district. CSD, you are administrators. We're just a services district. You're administrators, and it is your charter with the Regional Water Quality Control Board to administer a compliant permitted project. That project is paid for by the property owners within the prohibition zone legally. It is not paid for by the entire district. And if you assume that the district is taking total responsibility by enforcing Measure B without any funding mechanism defined within Measure B for how to do that, you've just got a huge conflict that's created. But again, you know, reading that purpose, I'd say Measure B doesn't even apply, because this compliant project is paid for by the property owners within the prohibition zone, and it serves them to remove the liability they have for discharging that is they are under. I could go on and on with Measure B, but in your negotiations, which you're in, I commend you for keeping all options on the table. I think it is imperative that as a district, and for the protection of our groundwater, that we try to maintain local control of our water resources, and that means you're obviously facing significant financial pressures with the hemorrhaging that's going on as you do not make a decision. So I hope you in your negotiations keep that in mind and do not allow the control to shift from this district to other parties. And you have to keep that in mind as you're doing your negotiations, and you have to recognize that you do have a compliant permitted project that does address the groundwater issue by treating the water to a very high standard.
I just wanted to correct that. CMC does do Title 22 tertiary effluent into the river, to the creek, and it is the same requirement. And so that needs to, you know, you need to do your homework, Mr. Sparks. Just saying those things doesn't make them so. Affordability is the first thing that you do when you create a budget. You do that at home. You do that in business. You do that for sure in public works projects. And you assess how much money you can afford. Now, if your project's going to cost more than that, that doesn't mean you don't have to build it. That's what we found out. I think somebody had a lawsuit before I ever came along. Anyway, the bottom line is, and the most important thing is that if you can't afford it, you need to go out and find some other ways to fund it. And usually that means in the form of grants and some help from the government, usually. So we didn't do that. So that's one of the reasons that the mythical $35 million is not there. Please look into that. It is not there. If you think it's there, you know, I got it. I don't know. I have a sewer plant to sell you. Anyway, 10 deficiencies in the loan. Two things happened. One, when they gave the loan, they gave it with deficiencies in their own guidelines. We protested that. We said, look, you didn't do it right. You haven't followed your own guidelines, and you blew it. And then the second thing they did is they actually awarded the money and allowed the construction to start before the election. They blew it again. The reason that they're at the table isn't because they pulled our loan and they canceled the contract and slapped our hand. They could do that from Sacramento. The reason they're here is because there's something in it for them. This is the first time in the history of the state revolving fund loan that there is a default. Yet we stood in front of them and said, we will be defaulting if you give us this money before an election. We had no idea at the time that there was going to be construction before the election. No reasonable, thoughtful, responsible government official would do that. Ours did. They're not here. The project being used for the negotiation, everything's on the table as I understand it. And I appreciate the fact that people are saying, why not put everything back on the table, including on-site? Because on-site has come a long way since the last time it was looked at in the 90s. There is UV. There is filtration systems. There is the same level of treatment, and it can be a lot less. I've administered funds for the State Revolving Fund loan in several projects, and I have experience there, so I can tell you that what they did was in error. Most important with Measure B, I believe, is that the district must send the voters a statement exactly what is going to be proposed, and they're supposed to have 30 days in advance of any election to choose that or to reject it. On top of that, they're supposed to have 60 days prior to the election, along with any EIR public documents for all the Coastal Commission and permitting agencies to review it. That's a 90-day process. I don't see how you can keep people sitting for 90 days. And so either we have to cancel the contracts and go back through this process or not. And I have more on Measure B, but I'll yield. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. McPherson. Ms. Albright?
Joyce Albright, Los Osos. Supporters of the current Los Osos Community Services District Board wrote Measure forced into the stoppage. Now, conveniently, your ex-lawyer Biggs has announced she will sue if the project is restarted based on Measure B. This entire setup was obviously planned from the get-go. The LOCSD directors can easily resolve the quagmire of your own design by restarting the project. Nobody will challenge a decision to restart the project except your supporters, those who paid and will continue to pay Biggs if she sues. We've paid for enough litigation originated by you and your supporters. And while we don't want to pay for any more, if Biggs sues, one more lawsuit would be preferred to this stalemate. Just fire Biggs and restart the project. You are leading the CSD toward financial destruction, and Los Osos property owners are going to pay big time for your folly. Please call 596-5331 if you want to join in our efforts to save the LOCSD from bankruptcy. That is 596-5331.
Thank you, Ms. Albright. Ms. Renshaw?
I think we did hear that rents are going to be raised. I think that any homeowner that's renting in this area is going to have to start raising rents. And I think we will stop spending money on our local businesses. I think when somebody, if we do have to pay a $200 a month, if somebody has a couple different properties, that's going to add up to a lot of money. And I can see that the economy would suffer a lot. One thing I don't understand is the bankruptcy. I don't know any city on the coast in California that would ever go bankrupt. The property value here is high. I feel like it's a scare tactic. I think they're just waiting for people to start selling their properties because they get afraid, and people are going to come in and start buying them and just waiting and building their, you know, big monster homes and all the other things that they're trying to get their hands on in this area. We're lucky we live in a place where people do care. And I've seen it many times over. You know, we started the no smoking campaign in San Luis Obispo, and now it's nationwide. There's a lot of things that have happened here, and a lot of changes can come from a small group of people. So I just really encourage you to keep going, and I appreciate the negotiations. I think Sam's a good person to be in there talking with. He's got a good head, and I know something is going to happen here, so I'm just going to hold tight and wait and see. So thank you.
Yes, thank you. Just one quick comment, and that is I've learned something this week, and that is that cities and counties and CSEs don't go bankrupt. There's no such thing. So that's what I've been told this week, and just wanted to share that with the audience.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Perla?
Good evening, Madam President, fellow board members. My name is Chuck Varela. I'm retired and a 28-year resident property owner in the Prohibition Zone. 30 days prior to a site election, the CSD board has to provide the public with the treatment process and site, project cost, financing dynamics. I think this particular item is ridiculous. Have we not learned the hard way and the expensive way? The project specifics cannot be delineated prior to site selection and regulatory impositions. Measure B is excessively restrictive and is not in the best interest of whoever is sitting on that side of the table. To date, your decisions have been emotional and have not been based on prudent business logic. Suspending work on the project, placing Mr. Buell on administrative leave, changing legal counsels are cases in point. Stopping construction without having a clue what the ramifications would be, nor knowing the ultimate cost of the property owners, was financially irresponsible. You stated Mr. Buell was heading in a different direction than the new board. His placement on administrative leave was an emotional decision. A prudent manager would have identified the new CSD direction for the employee, Mr. Buell, monitored the progress, and taken appropriate action if deemed necessary. The community is now compelled to pay four times Mr. Buell's salary, yielding unknown results. The replacement of Mr. Sykes is equally ridiculous. Must I restate the obvious? Did he not have the professional expertise to successfully defend our CSD and community against numerous frivolous lawsuits and successfully run the bureaucratic gauntlet for our approved sewer project? What more could we ask of him? I submit these staff changes were predicted by hurt feelings and not prudent business practices. I strongly implore this new board to take a deep breath, place your emotions on the shelf, weigh and view the facts from a business perspective, not pursue Measure B, take hat in hand to the Regional Water Control Board and negotiate earnestly to continue our existing wastewater treatment plant. The clock is ticking and millions of dollars are exponentially amassing from fees and fines. Thank you very much.
Yes, Ms. Walsh.
Jerry Walsh. A previous speaker earlier in the evening used a very condescending tone in speaking to this board and mentioned that you were stumbling at first. I don't think you were stumbling at all. You hit the ground running. You're very well prepared and have been working on these issues for a long time before you came on the board. We want to thank you. Please stay resolute. Another previous speaker talked about the current project contractors bragging in bars. Well, also the current project contractors have been bragging in restaurants, how much they're going to be making on this project, more so than any other project before. Could this be due to the 46% overbids? Again, please stay resolute in your efforts. If the Water Quality Control Board was so concerned about protecting our water, why are we headed to a level 3 water severity level? Why didn't they step in before and tell us about water conservation? And I want to thank John for mentioning at the meetings.
There you go. Richard Margetson, United States of America, where I think as a citizen you have the right to attend any public meeting anywhere, any state, any county, any district. Mr. Fergus brought up the 0% interest loan. I think he was referring to me when he brought that up. Maybe if he had attended some of the Finance Committee meetings, if he'd like to review the December board meeting, I think it was discussed at the January board meeting, and there's documentation in the SRF funding packet. Tons of information for him to look at. I looked at it, and there was a time early in this process when the board could have approached the community and attempted to get a 0% interest loan by putting up the match. But that's another 20-minute discussion. Another speaker mentioned that they believe the project will meet the community's water quality needs. Is saltwater intrusion, the continuation of saltwater intrusion for at least the next 5 years, part of the community's water quality needs? Somebody I can't remember the gentleman's name, mentioned that at the Sunday meeting in front of the CSD offices that 80% of the community, 80% of the property owners voted for the assessment. 80%, over 80% of those that voted for the assessment. Of all of the property owners and the weighted, it was a little over 50%. And I'm curious, and I think I have an idea, but right now, anybody in the room that voted for the assessment, that if the assessment election was held a month from now, would have voted for it, or would not have voted for it, sorry, would have changed their vote. Anybody who voted yes, but would have voted no, if they knew what they knew now, and especially where it was going to be cited, would they stand up? That includes you. That includes you guys. If you voted yes, but you would have voted no, if you had a chance to vote again, if you knew what you know now. Right. And I think by the number that are standing, may have changed that election. One last thing. I think it was Mr. Hubbard mentioned that you guys were making $600 a month having these meetings. What is this now for this month, the 9th meeting, the 10th? So these meetings are free. And for Lisa and John, I'm sure at this point you're not even making the $20 an hour that the guys in the back of the room were making. And this community, nobody in
Bears Association versus LOCSD and State Water Board in Slo Superior Court, CV050649. Case 3, case/CCLO versus State Water Board and LOCSD in Sacramento Superior Court, CV050801231. That's the SRF loan. Anticipated litigation. Conference with district legal counsel re-significant significant exposure to anticipated litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 57956.9B, four cases. Staffing issues, wastewater, project employees. We'll have 3 more minutes of public comment for anyone who wishes to speak.
May I?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to watch the clock and not go over 3 minutes for it because I want to respect everybody who... My name is Al Barrell, and item CV050801231, State Revolving Fund Loan, Prop 218, case CCLO. I just want to make a comment on that, and my comment is that we had an engineering company tour Los Osos yesterday. The president was here, and he said he could install a step collection system in 9 months. Out the door, baby. So... trying to comply with timelines, we'd be way ahead of the other project, even if it took us 6 months to get to the point where we started. I wanted you to know that. Regarding, and that's good news. DeLeo, your company, Steve, okay, they used to give lessons to other drilling companies in Sacramento for Caltrans. They're a highly qualified company. We also have other estimates coming in from ARB, which is a big qualified, and they were qualified for the previous job. They chose not to bid on it. The second idea is the staffing issues, wastewater project employees. At this time, we don't need wastewater project employees. We probably won't need any for another 6 months, and I agree with Gail McPherson. We should stop the contracts right now.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Tekach? Oh, wait a second. Mr. Sennett?
I think Al's comments may have raised some questions about people that they may have about my association with DeLeo. This is a company that I was introduced to when I took training in horizontal directional drilling. And they were a contractor who demonstrated the use of the equipment. I've never been involved with them during a contract or any business with them. I'm a permitting engineer. I don't run contracts or anything, so my association with them is just through the acquaintance by a training course. And Al was asking me about that method of installation of pipe, and I let him know that they were a very established company in this work, and they may offer a lot of valuable information. But it certainly wasn't any endorsement or anything that I have an interest in.
No stock?
James Tekach, Los Osos. I was just going to ask Director Sennett to clarify his association with that company because, as far as I know, he has none. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to speak during closed session items about this?
I'm Walt Lewis. I've been Los Osos, and I'm scared.
Meetings like committee meetings, and we have a cap by state law that we cannot make more than $600 a month, no matter how many meetings we have or how much work we do.
Can I ask that, no, it just scares me. I mean, you know,
like I understand. I understand. None of us make any money. We're all volunteers,
can I answer that charge,
you are. I just answered it for you. Thank you. Next speaker, please. I said you were a volunteer. You are. You're a citizen volunteer, and you've volunteered all your time. Anybody else like to speak on closed session items? Yes, sir, Mr. Payne.
Good evening. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos, Madam President, Board, staff, and public. On this anticipated litigation, that's kind of ambiguous, but I guess you can't talk about what might be anticipated before it's, are we being threatened? Maybe you can't even say that. The the staffing issues of the wastewater project employees, I believe they can be terminated. With, you know, we this is part of the money that the last CSD3 saw how much they could waste in a hurry, which may actually have been beneficial to our election. The point being that we can still, no matter what it costs to shut down these contracts, we will still save millions of dollars. So when this all started and I made the statement that it was despicable and disgusting what they were doing, but I knew I was wasting my breath to try to talk them out of doing it. They were dead set to do it. Mr. Buell said that they intended to spend at least $24 million, and I think we're probably up to $30 million now. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But we know that they intended to get another $6 million from the state, which got stopped, I believe, the money that was going to come in to pay for the last 2 months' work. I don't know what the first installment they got paid for. Anyway, I guess that's about it. Stop everybody you can. Let's save what's left of it. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Payne. Ms. Fergus?
Hello. Jean Fergus, Los Osos resident. We're on public television, I think, and I would like to elaborate or counter something that I believe Ms. Walsh said about the property owners making money already because of an anticipated cost or cost which will be passed on to the renters. I manage about 12 properties. Last year, I had to lower rents considerably, possibly even $200 in some cases, because we have a lot of competition. No rent raises. We've lowered them. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fergus. Again, this is closed session item, so if we could try to keep on the topic, that's the preferred.
Keith Swanson, there was a question that was posed by Vivian earlier, and Mr. McClendon wasn't here, so I just wanted to get a clarification regarding there's a letter-writing campaign that's going on back here to, God forbid, we're asking our public servants to help us out in Los Osos, but for some reason there may be a problem with that. So I'd like to get an answer from you as if there is a concern about that. And secondly, we talk about what the general manager's making. Remember, it's interim general manager, interim council. The CSD has never been reluctant to go out outside of Mr. Seitz's professionalism to hire experts at $200, $300 an hour, and there was never any problem with that. But it seems to me when there's a new board, and I can tell you these guys are worth every dollar, and they're not going to be here forever, so you cannot calculate them as an annual salary. They're not going to be here forever. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. McClendon, there was a question before you came, and it has to do with there's letter writing going on the side of the room, and Ms. McNeil asked the question, should it be allowed? It's letter writing to our government officials, and she wanted to know if it should be allowed or not.
That's a fundamental constitutional liberty of the citizens to petition their government for redress of grievances. That's all wrapped up with mom apple pie and the essence of the United States of America.
Okay. Thank you. Hey, Mr. Bearden?
Don Bearden, Prohibition Zone. I'm looking at some of these court cases that you have listed that you're going to talk about, and the dates that I show for like CB 05, 05, 62, there's a tentative meeting at or a hearing at 10:28:05 in the Vets Hall at 9 a.m. Is that still have to do with anything? And the appellate one is not until 12:14:05. Is that correct? At 1:30?
Yes, that's correct. And I don't. What was the first one you said? What date did you have? 10:20.
It's 10:28:05.
Mr. McClendon,
at the Vets Hall at 9 a.m.
True, 10:28:05 at the Vets Hall.
I'm sorry. Which case is that?
The first one.
That's the first one. The Measure B. CB 050562.
The Measure B has been postponed to December. That's my understanding.
That was my understanding too. But the clerk at the courthouse has said there was something going on the 28th.
Well, I can answer by saying I've not received notice of any hearing on that. Now it is not infrequent that when a case goes up on an emergency writ to the Court of Appeal that there may be just as a process of the Superior Court that a case management conference or something of that sort may have been calendared. But again, I have not received any notice, and I have not been informed from Mr. Seitz that he's received a notice either.
Okay, so the 12-14-05 date is a good date. Is that still 11-22-05? The Vets Hall at 9 a.m.?
I'm sorry, did
that's
you say...
That's the taxpayers...
Did you say 649?
Yeah, Taxpayers Association.
Taxpayers Association.
Do you recall what... I'm assuming you're getting this off the court website?
No, I went to the court...
Okay. Did they say this was
the
a
clerk looked it up on their?
Did they say this was a case management conference?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm guessing that. I believe there may be a pending case management conference on that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Cooper.
Hi. I just had a quick question about what is the Los Osos Taxpayer Association versus the LOCSD and SWRCB. You know, I know they came to court once before, but what is this about?
This is about the Prop 218 vote and the requirement for it for the SRF loan. It's regarding that question.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That's what it's about, yeah. Do you have anything to add, Mr. McClendon, on that?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to speak during closed session items, please? Ms. McNeil?
Vivian McNeil, Los Osos. I have a question. I don't expect to hear names, but can you enumerate the positions, the wastewater positions that you're considering eliminating? Thank you.
Ms. McNeil, we're not at this time considering eliminating anybody. It's anybody who's working on the wastewater project will be discussed during closed session. Is that correct?
We also have some staffing issues that we have vacancies too. So yeah, it's more generic than that.
It's just discussion at this time. Thank you. Yes, Ms. Hilliard.
Madam President and the Board, last week I came before this Board and requested that you determine from the property owners what, as a group, their position was regarding actions of the Board. I came tonight to ask you whether you've made any progress on that request, and in particular, I think it applies to disposition of the cases that are pending before you, as well as your potential exposure over the upcoming weeks in regards to the decision that you make. So I would like to think that you do care what we think, and I would like to know what progress you've made in determining from property owners, since many of us never got to vote on any of these measures, how we feel about how you're spending our money, since it is the property owners who will be paying for all the decisions that you make.
Well, we're working as hard as... We've been in negotiations all week with Mr. Blakesley. I have nothing other to report than we're trying to work on behalf of all residents, including property owners who are absent or present in the town at this time. We're on vacation time from work. We're working as hard as we can. We're having as many meetings as we can. And I don't have anything else I wanted to tell you that, but we're trying to represent everybody. We're trying to listen to everybody the best we can. We have a lot of interest here. Come on back up. I know you.
It's my understanding that 42% of the voters do not own the property, So that would potentially translate to 42% of the property owners not being able to vote and let you know their opinion about direction that you're taking.
Okay, I know that's not correct. There's plenty of property owners that live here that own 5-10 properties, so they did get a chance to vote.
Who got to vote once, and then they have tenants who also got 5, 10, 20 votes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hilliard. Anybody else like to speak on closed session items? Ms. Albright?
I would like to ask, my name is Joyce Albright, and I do live in the Prohibition Zone. I would like to ask if you're intending on firing any more employees.
We're just considering, we're discussing employee and staffing options. There's no firing at this time. We're just talking about issues about employees. Thank you, Ms. Albright. Anybody else like to speak? I'm ready to close it. Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. Mr. Kreiser.
Hi, my name is Bob Kreiser. I live in Los Osos. My question is about future litigation. One of the things that's come to the table recently was a question as to whether or not the property owners that either paid assessments annually or prepaid the assessments prior to the acquisition of a $20 million bond. It's my understanding that there was some comment that those property owners would be eligible to request for their monies back if the project changed. If the project changed, are you prepared to give the money back, or will you require that the property owners take you to litigation? And then the subsequent question would be, if you do relocate and redesign, would you be going back to the property owners to ask them to support a bond issue to be able to do that? Thank you.
Do you want to, Mr. McClendon, do you have any answer about the assessment?
Well, regarding the first one, Bruce Buell, Bruce, he is asking the question about the these claims for refunds on the assessments, and I believe we discussed that about a week ago, and it sounded like you had a conversation with bond counsel, and maybe you could address that issue.
Thank you. I'm Bruce Buell. My conversation with Carlo Fowler is that the prepayments are generally not refundable. The district does need to work with bond counsel in regard to changes of the project, and it's my understanding that the district has an obligation to notify bondholders of changes in the circumstances.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Perillo?
Good evening again, Board, Madam President. I have a question as far as the Measure B, as far as some misinformation that I think that the board's been given as far as it's been my experience in dealing with Southern California Edison as far as placing permanent facilities underneath high tension lines. We weren't able to do it down south. PG&E up here says that they can't do it up here either. Now, that's one issue that I think we really ought to look at, because a permanent wastewater treatment facility in the immediate area of high tension lines, I think, would not be consistent with their operation. And the last thing is, I would take exception to a young lady that said that the men's colony is having the same wastewater treatment plant as what we're proposing, or you have an idea for. That may be that it's the same type of facility, but you cannot compare dollar for dollar as to what it's going to cost Los Osos to put in a similar facility. The men's colony, Pismo Beach, they had existing facilities on site. They did not have to deal with easement, right-of-way, putting in, bringing power to the site, all the internal infrastructure for the actual plant. Okay, the plant was there. They just had to modify it and update it. With the exception of Pismo, they put in new pack. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Perillo. no definition on proximity from this board, and we understand and we are looking at the easements about no permanent facilities under easement. Anybody else want to speak? I'm getting ready to close public comment. Okay, Mr. Markinson. Mr. Blesky.
I just wanted to make a comment on the Men's Colony plant and the Pismo plant. Those plants are essentially new facilities. They are repair by replacements, and we've checked that out because we've been challenged on that before. And essentially what happens is all the headworks and all the facilities that have been there before are going to be removed, or the new facility is at a site other than the existing facility, and we've confirmed that. So I don't want to have anybody, like I said, we have checked that out. As far as cost comparability, well, you know, we're in a different week when it comes to bidding right now. So, yeah, you know, we've got to take that into consideration. So there are factors along that line that definitely concern us.
Richard Margetson. There's an item on here for employees, and I know you said you're not going to mention who you're going to be talking about. I'd like to make the comment that if the public information officer and the ombudsman are part of that discussion in committees and at public meetings 2 years ago, we had problems with the Maria Singleton proposal for how to deal with public information back then. And as we've looked at other options in the community for other services, like there's a concern about whether we can do the water ops building cheaper than $1.2 million. I think we can do public information for less than over $165,000 a year. I think median house in San Luis Obispo County just went over $600,000. Personally, I feel a lot more pain for the people that are going to have to move out of the community, that are on fixed income, living in a home that they've had and bought here 40 years ago, than I do for the people that own multiple rental properties. And I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you all for coming tonight. Before you leave, we're going to have some director comments, and then we're going to close. We probably will be at least 2 hours in closed session, and we will report at our next meeting if you're not in the mood for staying and waiting. In fact, we probably will close up the cameras like we've been doing to save money on time and report out of closed session at our next meeting, which we haven't scheduled yet, but keep posted because things are moving very fast. Director Tacker, would you like to start?
I just wanted to kind of give the community my perspective on why there is a Measure B. And I think the energy behind Measure B probably started April 15th, 2004, when the Coastal Commission found substantial issue with the CSD's project. What they found, what they saw, is what Mr. Cooper so eloquently pointed out for us tonight, is that our environmental impact report identified the environmentally superior project. We could have had both, clean water and protected the endangered species and the environment. So that's what raised the flag for them. On April 27th, in this very room, there was a town hall meeting with over 300 people in attendance that went well into the wee hours of the morning. On that agenda, it asked, do you want to have a vote? Not in those words, but it was to gauge the support for the project. Do we take it to a vote? That was the question. Speaker after speaker after speaker supported that on both sides of the issue, on both sides supporting and moving the sewer and the Tri-W site. Let the people choose. It did not happen. My recollection is that Mr. Buell reported some weeks later, talked about what it would take to divest the project. The county wasn't interested in taking over the project. That's what I remember him saying. that it would take a LAFCO process, LAFCO, Local Area Formation something, Commission, thank you, some 18 months. How does that get us any closer to clean water if it takes us 18 months to get it back to the county and the county doesn't want it anyway? So that's why we didn't want to go through that process, or the board chose not to go through that process. But what I also remember is Mr. Gustafson saying that we've had many votes. We've had many votes. We voted for the CSD. We voted for subsequent directors. We voted for an assessment. We've had many votes on the sewer. We did not. Exhibit 3C was a cost comparison for this project, minus the wave balls. It didn't have a park at the time, so that actually wasn't factored into the cost comparison. So you're shortchanged on the opinion there. But minus the wave walls and the improvements that it would take to build a sewer at Tri-W, and the engineer, Steve Hyland, who I think has a vested interest in the project and probably wanted to see it go forward the way it was, reported in that Exhibit 3C, again, I want you to get a hold of it. It's 8 pages. He gave an estimate with a time delay of 18 months to 2 years, including the time delay. The difference in the two projects would be somewhere, plus or minus, $1 to $4 million. Again, this is why there's a Measure B. You didn't get to choose. Did you want to spend maybe less than the project was proposed in the middle of town, or maybe a few million more to get it out of town? You didn't get to choose. Fast forward to spring 2005. That energy was building. The permit got approved. The recall was underway. The signatures were being gathered. Citizen effort to get an initiative in front of this community to give you that choice of where you wanted to locate your sewer. In 5 weeks, 1,800 signatures were gathered. Only 1,000 were needed to get it on a ballot. It was on the ballot, and it was voted on September 27th. It's the law. Yes, there's a court decision pending, but I believe this board has to act within the law, and it's the CSD's law. And until it changes, until something is different, that's what we have to do. Thank you all for your input. Thank you, Director Fouché and President Schicker, for your tremendous input on the negotiations. Dan Bleski, hours and hours and hours, intense. And I've been sitting home by the phone waiting. I feel like the expectant father of quintuplets. I'm dying to know what's going on in there and how I can help. And I think the community wants to know what happens. But I applaud your efforts, and I know that you have our community's best interests at heart. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Tacker. Director Fouché, Vice President Fouché, would you like to say any comments?
Just quickly, I can't really talk about the negotiations as of to date, and that's an agreement that we've got with the office, Sam Blakesley's office. What I would like to say, and I'm going to say it every time I get in front of the microphone at every meeting, is please, please conserve water. It's a precious resource.
There are some things that people say that are really pertinent and apply and are helpful, and there are also other things that are not productive. And just tonight, I gained some insight into an issue I think that's going to be very important to us. And of all things, you know, it was from a person who wouldn't necessarily agree with most of my opinions, probably. So again, thanks to everybody for your comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Sennett. Director Cecilia.
Along those lines, I would like to say we've got everybody in mind with the decisions that we make. I firmly believe, have always believed, that this could be done cheaper outside of town. And I have always been very angry at the fact that the previous board knew that and tried to obfuscate that fact. I don't know if I'll ever get over that someday. Maybe, I hope, for my own good. But the decisions that we make now are for the good of the entire community. We're thinking about everybody. We have to do that. That's our charge, and that's what's on our mind.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any comments from staff at this time? Would anyone, would you like to make any comments? Mr. Bleski?
No, other than I really appreciate my staff with all their frustration sometimes and my not getting phone calls back before agendas get out, Jan. And I appreciate her efforts. They've been real, they've been doing yeoman's duty on overtime. The other thing is just the whole process of working with the state is has been productive. And without getting into any of the details, I think that those that have been working with us have really been brave to step forward and try to resolve this issue on all fronts. There are challenges, but the atmosphere is, I think if you could sit in there, or maybe one day we could write a story about it, I think you would have been very proud of the people that came to meet with us. And I'll leave it at that.
No more comments for staff, and just mine to finish up without being too long-winded. I'd also like to thank everybody for coming again and for your patience, please, during this hard time for all of us. And I do also appreciate everybody's comments, and we need to hear from everybody. And I remember when we first started getting involved, the board was asking, where were you when those hard decisions were being made? And it doesn't help us to go backwards. You're here now, and we need your comments now. And we appreciate all the comments that will help us make better decisions. I also would like to echo what Mr. Fouché and Mr. Bleski were saying in the room this week with Assemblyman Blakesley and the State Water Board staff. We've met nothing with we were very honored to be part of the negotiations, and we're just very brave people, everybody that's in the room. And we're all trying to come up with a solution for Los Osos within the parameters that exist for us. And I just want you to have that belief that what we've been dealt, and we're willing to do that, but that's caused a lot of extra work for all of us and a lot of extra angst. And finally, my big issue, for what it's worth, is I'm a CEQA, NEPA, biologist, landscape architect, environmental person. Siting issues are my biggest concern. When the project changed downtown and we didn't redo our environmental document, we did this community a big disservice, because that's why most of us got involved. When you change a project, you must redo CEQA, and it never was done. When the plant was buried, we all voted for it. When the plant was ponding, we all voted for it. When the plant was buried, we said, okay, it sounds okay still. But when you put when the plant was raised 40 feet tall, and the cost was higher, and it was not disclosed in the environmental document as it should have been, many of us became very concerned. When you change a project that substantially, you must redo your environmental. It never happened. That is part of what has happened now, and why the community was so alarmed about the changes. And so just a little history to understand why those of us in this business were most concerned about that. And we truly believe a project out of town still meets more of the water quality goals than an in-town project will ever do. And if you can help us get there, and we can do it within the parameters that we have right now, we would appreciate your assistance in any way. And thank you, and good night.
You're going to check still, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.